Our media speakers today are Allison Ferget from WKBT, Brad Williams from WIZM Radio, Chandler Brindley with WXOW, Ezra Wall with Wisconsin Public Radio, and Todd Krishak with the La Crosse Tribune. So without any further preliminaries, let's get started. And let's start out with opening remarks, and I'm going to go with you for yours, and you'll do the closing remarks first, then later, okay? Chandel.
Sounds good. Well, first, I just want to say thank everybody for being here. I believe that making sure that you're engaged civically is extremely important, and participating in local elections are extremely important. So thank you for your investment, and thank you for your time. 17 years ago, when I moved here to La Crosse, I would never have imagined that I would be running for mayor of this great city. Even after taking a class with John Mettinger, La Crosse government was not a goal of mine. However, obviously that changed. And it wasn't a goal of mine, but only because I consider myself to be a community organizer. So in 2016, when I started Black Leaders Acquiring Collective Knowledge, I did it with the purpose of making sure that we were providing supports and standing in the gap for Black and brown youth and families in this area. My work at Black has definitely opened my eyes to a lot of the resources, community organizations, and businesses in this area, and the work that they do every day to make La Crosse a better place. My time here, I've founded several businesses. I've founded a nonprofit organization. I've been appointed as on the Governor's Equity Council. I've advised Mayo. I also worked with the Franciscan Sisters. I've done a lot of things in this community that showcase my leadership, including serving on an advisory board that we now have our first 24-hour youth and homeless shelter. Among those things, and working with countless other organizations, I've done all of this, and all this work is truly what is going to lead me, right? Lead me to being successful as mayor. Gaining all the tools will definitely make sure that I enhance this community on day one when in office. We cannot solve today's problems with yesterday's politics. I've given so much energy to this community and compassion to this community, and I would no longer sit by and allow our government not to engage with the community. I'm running for mayor because I know what this community needs. I know the kind of city that La Crosse can be, and I am truly committed to being the person and going alongside this community and our city staff to make sure that vision is sought out. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris.
Okay, can everyone hear me? How's that? I want to start out by thanking the voters on March 18th who put both of us here in front of you. I also want to thank my supporters who helped me get over that line to get here today. And I also want to recognize that this week and acknowledge that it is the 5-year anniversary of a global pandemic that impacted everyone's lives as well as small business. And with that, I'm going to start by saying what I say, La Crosse is at a crossroads. We are coming at that 5-year anniversary, but we are at a crossroads. And we have a lot of tough challenges ahead of us, but we have opportunities that are bright and beautiful for this city. I am the only candidate with local government experience here, and I'm ready to hit the ground running on day one as your next mayor. On City Council, I've worked on the issues that matter most to the people in my district. Some of those are public safety, strengthening our neighborhoods, protecting our open spaces, ensuring that our parks, pools, libraries are funded, those neighborhood assets that we love, and working collaboratively on housing and homelessness issues. I am the only candidate, as I said, with experience in local government, and I can't see this. I have put together 6 city budgets, and I've had to make tough decisions, and I know what that entails. I also understand the struggles of small business and how important their success is for the city's future. I know every resident deserves a safe place to live, and I'm excited to bring my knowledge and experience and love of this city to lead La Crosse as your next mayor.
All right, thank you, thank you. Well, let's get started with your question, Allison. Allison Ferguson from WKBT.
Thank you. Access to affordable childcare is a growing concern in the area. For the past few years, the city has worked with organizations to find solutions using ARPA money. Those funds had to be allocated by the end of 2024 and will have to be spent by the end of 2026. Additionally, the state's Child Care Counts initiative is set to end this summer. How will you continue to address the issue of child care while potentially working with less funding?
Okay, and we'll go with you, Chris, and let's be respectful for the time because we want to get through these questions. If we
can. Sure. Thank you. Well, I was on the Economic Development Committee that allocated that funding for child care. It is not a typical budget item that the City of La Crosse has in its budget. What I would do would be work with the planning department to find out if there are additional ways that the city could help with child care. I also will state that early on, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I did try to work with some of the younger council members to find a way to get child care access in City Hall. We thought that there needed to be a way to be more equitable and allowing women and dads who had small children to attend, be at meetings, or serve on committees. And we were not successful with that, but possibly in the future we could do that. And also, I do work with our state legislators, and I can work with them as mayor to make sure that we are getting funding for childcare.
Okay, and since we didn't specify which person this, go ahead and answer that question as well, and then we'll have an opportunity for response.
Sounds good. So, Black Leaders Acquiring Collective Knowledge, under my leadership, worked collaboratively with the county to actually gather stories of a lot of individuals who are childcare owners or providers. And in, to do that, we use those stories to then be able to advocate for funding in this city, i.e. some connection to the ARPA funding, but also other funding as well. I've been able to sit on in meetings with the governor who talks about this issue as well and making sure that his budget allows for funding specifically for child care providers. And as mayor, I would advocate with our state and local legislators to ensure that we bring that funding here in La Crosse.
Okay. Chris, do you have a response? All right. Let's go to the next question then. Brad Williams from WIZM.
This question involves the relationship between the city government and local business. In the last couple of weeks, City Hall recently voted to restrict access to parking near City Brewery as a way of getting the company to fix the smells coming from the plant. Would you support similar methods to get private firms to take particular actions? Is this an example you would follow as mayor?
Okay, this goes for both candidates. And Shondell, why don't you start?
So I think, well, to begin, let's just say the health and well-being of our community is extremely important. And so part of our health and well-being is making sure that we have quality air, making sure that we see the beauty of our city. And so I truly believe that the decision that the council has made was appropriate to ensure that we hold people accountable to making sure that we're adhering and wanting the best for our community, again, for our health and well-being.
Okay, Chris.
You meant restricting parking of the trailers.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure that that was clarified. I believe that supporting local business is incredibly important and that local business is the backbone of our community. It is important, as I said, for the city to survive. We need better collaboration with businesses before we start flexing our arm and threatening to take away lease space that they need to do their business, that they need to continue to support those well-paying jobs. In the end, that termination of that lease was reconsidered, and I was at that meeting last Monday, and I hope that in the future, and as mayor, I would not let something get to that point, but make sure that those disagreements are worked out ahead of time. There is a schedule for the brewery to get the issue solved, and they have listened, and they are on board, and it will be completed. So we are going to move ahead with less of that smell from the brewery in the future.
Okay. Shondell, do you have a response?
I do not.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next question from Chandler Brindley.
La Crosse's City Hall is open Monday through Thursday. I've been told by community members they used to have access to quite a bit of the building. Nowadays, the first floor is where most have access unless they're with a city employee. You're not able to get on the elevators and access other floors. Should City Hall be open on Friday, and should community members have more access to that building?
And that's both candidates?
Both candidates.
All right. And I believe it's your turn.
Thank you for that. I, as mayor, would like to have City Hall open on Fridays. I realize that our community wants to be able to access City Hall. I think they should have the availability and on Fridays to go in and do the work that they need to do, pay their bills, ask questions, meet with staff. I realize also the restrictions that were put on accessing upper floors was due to a safety kind of inspection, and there were recommendations made because of what has happened in the climate lately, and there were concerns about safety. So I would prefer to, as mayor, take a look at that again and see if there would be some more access to individuals, because I think it is really important for citizens to feel like they can access their government.
Okay, excellent. Shondell.
So I, too, will admit I was a little upset, you know, going on a Friday and realizing that the building was closed. I'm like, man, what happened here? But also equally, I was upset because I remember a time where I would be able to go up to Mayor Cabot's office and have a conversation with him. And so I hear the community's frustration with the way things are going right now in terms of what people are considering the lockdown of City Hall. And as mayor, I think it's our responsibility to ensure that we also maintain the safe place for our individuals to work, but then also still make sure our public has access to the folks that they are paying to represent and work on their behalf. And so I think working with the directors, as well as city staff and the community, and I think we can come up with a solution that works best for all of us.
Okay, thank you. Chris, do you have a response? No response, okay. Let's go to the next question. Ezra Wall, Wisconsin Public Radio. And this question, one goes to you, Shondell.
Okay. This question is for both candidates. Housing is prohibitively expensive in La Crosse for both renters and prospective homeowners. Generically, it's easy to say that we need to increase inventory or that we need to give people the opportunity to make more money. I'm wondering from each of you, what's an example of one specific tangible action the city can take to make housing more available and more affordable?
All right.
So I've rented in this community, I'm trying to think. So I came here in 07, I moved off campus, and when I moved off campus, I was a renter for many years up until myself and my husband bought our current house that we live in on the north side. So I definitely understand the need for rental properties in this community. As far as housing, I think we do what is best practice, which is the city planning department has housing studies and various things, climate action plan 2020 or plan 2040 and things of that nature that is helping to guide us to ensure that we're building the right housing. Now, my personal opinion is that I feel like we need to ensure that we're building a variety of housing in every neighborhood so that we make sure that every neighborhood is accessible to everyone.
Okay, all right, thank you. Chris, your response.
So I think we recognize housing is a human right, and safe, affordable housing really does make and strengthen neighborhoods. The city of La Crosse has worked on affordable housing projects over the last year. We have new projects coming online. We have worked with developers, and there are incentives that have been provided. And we have affordable and low-income housing coming on 4th and Jackson at the Collective. We have it at Lincoln School in Washburn neighborhood, and it will be coming on 10th and Main at the Haven on Main. So the city has and will continue, and as mayor, I will continue that, to make sure that we are providing affordable housing as well as other housing types, duplexes, missing middle housing, row houses, townhouses, making sure that we have housing for everyone in the city, and that when we do add housing to neighborhoods, we are being sensitive to that neighborhood and making sure that the character and charm of that neighborhood is considered when we infill new housing.
Okay, you have a response, Rondell?
No.
None. So let's move to the final, the last question in this round, and this is Todd Krishak with the La Crosse Tribune.
This question is for both candidates. Is there anything more the city should be doing to balance desires for expanded services and growth with desires to maintain the feel of existing neighborhoods?
And Chris, you're going to handle that one first.
Can you just repeat that again?
Is there anything more the city should be doing to balance the desires for expanded services and growth with the desires to maintain the feel of existing neighborhoods?
I'm not quite sure what expanded services you might be referring to. What I would advocate for is making sure that we use the tax dollars that we get from our residents wisely, and I have done it with 6 budgets now. And as far as neighborhoods, I think what we need to do is ensure that we are funding and maintaining our neighborhood assets, as I mentioned previously, parks, pools, libraries. We are funding our trail system, and we're making sure that the quality of life in our city is maintained.
Okay, all right. Sean,
can I have you repeat the question?
Yeah.
All right.
Is there anything more the city should be doing to balance the desires for expanded services and growth with those desires to maintain the feel of existing neighborhoods?
Okay. So to me, that question reads that we're talking about the amenities that we have with our tax dollars. Some people believe that government is only supposed to do 4 things. That is police, fire, sewer, and can't remember the 4th one, but you all know it. Water. And so, I think that we've moved beyond that time of the original creation of government, and we have to realize that the city has to step up to ensure that everyone has equitable access to resources to make sure that our neighborhoods are livable and that people have what they need in terms of resources to be able to thrive. And I think that's extremely important, and we can't forget that fact, and we can't continue to do government as usual. It's time for us to start thinking more innovative strategies, thinking of more collaborative ideas to ensure that everybody is getting what they need in this community.
Okay, excellent. Chris, do you have a response? Okay. All right. Well, then we're going to come back to you, Allison, for your question.
I'm going to continue the trend of asking a question for both of you. So La Crosse is absolutely beautiful, from our bluffs to the Mississippi. Some would say our city's natural beauty is one of our biggest assets, and it's key that we protect that. What role do you believe you as mayor and the city have in addressing climate change, and what policies would you implement to achieve that?
And I believe this goes to you, Shondell.
So let me just first start by saying I'm from Milwaukee. And so when I came to La Crosse, one of the things that I was able to really appreciate was what I called the mountains before, but now know as the bluffs, because everyone reminded me of that. And I think that we have to ensure that we maintain the beauty that we have here in this community. And one of the ways in which we can do that is by following the climate action plan with fidelity and not just picking pieces as it is convenient for us, but truly looking at that plan and working with the partners that helped us create that, as well as collaborating with businesses and private organizations to ensure that we do what we need to do for our community to keep it vibrant and live, right?
Okay. Chris, your thoughts.
Our climate action plan is an important piece to the sustainability of our city. As a council member who did vote to pass that plan, and it is a large plan with a lot of actions in it, as mayor, I would support in the budget making sure that when we do have budgetary items that we are looking at those items and really trying to decide, are they in line with the climate action plan? I would say in the past, that hasn't been done. And I think that we really need to be looking at where we spend our tax dollars and making sure that we support that plan. We know that we have extreme events that have happened in this region, in this city, more frequently, and that plan is important. I would also add that one of the actions in that plan was our urban tree canopy and restoring that. And there was a large amount of money, understandably funded by the council, to restore some of the urban tree canopy in downtown La Crosse. And that is something that I thought was very important, and the council did agree with me, and that is just one piece that I have sponsored that is in the climate action plan. And as mayor, I would make sure that our staff are understanding the components of it and that they are following it.
Okay. Do you have a
response? I would just also like to add that in addition to being responsible with tax dollars, we also have to be cognizant of the decisions that we make that go against the plans that we voted for.
Okay. All right, the next question. It'll be Brad Williams.
We are seeing efforts at downsizing government, certainly at the federal level and at lower levels as well. Will you be looking at specific services, if you become mayor, that the city provides, which could just as well be done by private business or a non-government organization? And this is to both candidates.
Okay. This goes to both candidates. And Chris, I believe you're first.
All right, thank you. Well, I thought about that one. I do not support privatization of city services. We have an incredible staff at the city, and I would not support privatization of any of those services right now. I think that would be a bad move. I would like to retain those good-paying jobs within the city, and I would stand with that. And was there something else to that question? Just privatization. All right, thank you. All
right. And I'm going to ask you to repeat that question.
All right. Would you be looking at any specific services now provided by the city, which could just as well be done by private business or non-government groups?
I think that to answer that question for me is a matter of collaboration, right? There's various businesses and private organizations in this community that we can serve alongside to ensure that our community members are receiving the services and things that they need. And I think we just have to come together to really decide what that looks like.
All right, thank you. Do you have any response? Okay. I think I flipped the order a couple of times here, but we're going to make sure it's even at the end, okay? And by the way, I think we are going to have some time for some audience questions, so if you have a card and you would like to pass it on down, we can see if we can get those in there, okay? Chandler, you are up next.
This will be for both candidates. La Crosse's City Council moved ahead with plans of annexation of the town of Campbell. Only one council member voted against this. Should the town of Campbell stay its own municipality, eventually becoming a village?
All right, Chris, you are first.
I don't think so.
Yeah?
It's me this time. No.
Yeah?
You know, I've heard a lot of, you know, stories around the town of Campbell. Even when I first got here, up until very recently, knocking on doors, that is a question that everyone asks. And I truly believe that as mayor, what I would do is work with the town of Campbell and surrounding areas to truly come up with a decision that is best for all of us.
Okay, all right.
Well, you put me in a position where I can't truly answer the question because I am privy to closed session knowledge that cannot be divulged here. So I'm going to say I supported the council decision, and I really can't speak to a whole lot more than that, except we're hoping for collaboration and some way to work out that situation.
Okay. Shondell, do you have a response?
No.
Okay. That'll bring us to our next question. Ezra.
All right. This surprise is for both candidates. The city council and police have adopted more restrictions aimed at people who are unhoused in the last year, including a ban on camping on city property and stricter rules around use of city parking garages. Is this the right approach to handling homelessness in La Crosse?
So I'm going to start by repeating what I said. Housing is a human right. And stable and affordable housing gives kids a better chance to succeed in school. It gives moms and dads a better chance to succeed in the workforce. Homelessness is a very complex issue. While we have the Pathways Home, it is a strong foundation, and I'm going to say several critical areas require external support, particularly in expanding access to treatment facilities for addiction and mental health services. I am going to say I do not support the idea that giving unhoused people a tent and a place to park it in a park is a viable solution. I think we need to follow the Pathways Home plan. And I would also say that giving someone a tent to go to a park or an encampment is not safe nor effective in ending homelessness.
Okay. Shondell.
The way we end homelessness is the way we do with all the other issues we have in this community is by coming together. And I've talked about Pathways Home because I truly believe Pathways Home was a brilliant strategy of looking at homelessness and unhoused issues in this community by having the city and the county and private organizations come together and say, hey, we have this issue. What services can you provide? What can you provide? And how can we do this together? However, I think when we use Pathways Home, which is an evidence-based approach that has been used and proven to work, we have to make sure that we're following Pathways Home with fidelity. And so in your question, you talked about encampments, and encampments is step three, or banning encampments is step three of the process, and we did that in step one. And so I think we just need to truly look at, when we're bringing out these evidence-based approach, are we following them with fidelity? And I understand that giving someone a tent and putting them outside is not a viable living experience. And also, the reality is our city also has to be able to provide the services that they need while working alongside other community partners.
Okay, do you have a response?
Not a response to Shondell, but an addition. May I use the time for an addition? What I would like to add, which I feel is an important piece that is not part of Pathways Home right now, is prevention. I think preventing folks from becoming homeless is just as important piece as now trying to get those 300 people into housing. And my thoughts, and this has been talked about for the last 6 or 8 years, has been a hub model of community safety. And as mayor, I would attempt to implement that immediately.
Okay.
I would just add that community response already exists. And it exists in buildings like REACH and organizations like Cooley Cap and Corona Housing and some of those places that this council tried to put barriers in place for them to be able to do the work that they needed to do. And I want us to all remember that.
Okay, thank you, Shondell. Final round on this. Todd, your question.
Do you believe La Crosse is ready for the next big flood? If so, what makes you so confident? And if not, what still needs to be done?
For both candidates?
For both candidates.
Right. What flood are we talking about?
The next.
I could take that in so many directions.
Specifically related to water.
Okay.
I mean, like, it could be a flood of people. Maybe we're expecting a whole bunch of humans to come to La Crosse at some point. Here's the reality. The city has done deferred maintenance for so long. And one of the issues is not so much the infrastructure on top, but also dealing with the infrastructure on the bottom. And that includes the water lines and things of that nature. And so I think we have to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to spend money to fix what's underneath the roads.
Okay. Chris.
So are we ready? We are probably not ready for the next big flood, depending upon how big it is. But are we moving towards that? Yes, we are. Every year in our capital improvement project budget, there are infrastructure improvements. We do upgrade storm sewer. That is important. So that is being done right now. It costs money. What the city should be prioritizing with infrastructure is immediate needs and needs that are in danger of breakage, as we see on Ward Avenue with a water main that has broken four times in the last year. We need to make sure that those critical infrastructure repairs are taken care of timely, and that will help to alleviate some, and we are working on it. But let's hope that we can get some more funding from the state in shared revenue to really do the job we need to do.
Okay. Shondell, do you have a response?
No.
Okay. Well, we do have time for some audience questions, and let me start out with this one. Actually, we have two questions that are very much related. I'm going to kind of merge them. It has to do with the reasons there. Was there any reason why we didn't fill the fifth district position, which represents the students, and then the umbrella question is, how will you address student concerns, specifically issues on representation and student input? Chris, would you like to go first?
So kind of two questions there. District 5, and I would say it is not the student district. I would call it District 5. It is made up of a majority of the UWL campus, but it does also include several blocks of residential housing. So I do call it District 5. Okay. That district has had a history of revolving door of council representatives. And when Councilmember Hameister retired, resigned, left last year, if we would have, as a council, wanted to fill that position, there would have been almost no students on campus who could have applied. State law requires you live within the city 28 days. The students on campus don't get their housing assignments until late August. They move in late August, early September. The earliest we could have filled that with having a decent amount and giving equity to all representatives and not giving an advantage to the residential homeowner area was to put that off until October. And the council decided on a vote that they wanted to wait and have a special election in order to have fairness to everyone in the district to be able to apply and not appoint a council member early to give them incumbency advantage.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to go into the second part of that question?
What will the city do?
To represent students?
So, to represent students.
How will you address student concerns, specifically on issues of representation?
Okay.
Student input.
So, student concerns, I have students in my district. I have a large student population. And those students right now do come to me with concerns. I've worked with them on pedestrian issues on West Avenue, on safety with lighting issues on La Crosse Street. So the council members already do address student concerns, and they do reach out to council members.
Okay, thank you. Chandel, what are your
thoughts? I would just have to say that I think representation is extremely important, and everybody should be represented as such, right? And so I completely disagree with the city council's decision to not fill that seat. And here's why. So if we're saying it's not the student district, then there should have been some other folks in those that District 5 radius that would have been able to be appointed to represent that particular district. And we have to ensure that what we do is, we have to ensure that when we talk about being democratic, and when we talk about making sure that everybody has a seat at the table and representation, that we do our due diligence to ensure that that actually happens. And so I think it's extremely important, as someone that came here from a different city, when the county board seat was up around the time that I was here, I think there was, I can't remember, the person left and they held interviews. And I actually was one of those candidates that interviewed for that position. I was very proud of myself. I didn't get it, but that's neither here nor there. But it was one of those things that I think was important, and that people had to reach out and say, hey, if you're in this area, we need representation. Come be a part of this. Do your civic duty and join the council or join the county board or whatever the case may be. So I think we had a missed opportunity in that. And then in addition to making sure that we're listening to students, here's the reality, right? La Crosse, at least when I came in here, came to La Crosse, was always known as like, there's a college town, right? We have three outstanding higher education institutions that we can partner with, that we can work with to ensure that that student voice is always at the forefront of our minds. And we just need to make sure that we're working. And as mayor, I will work with the chancellors and the presidents of those institutions and the student governing bodies of those institutions to make sure that we're bringing in their concerns while I am mayor and in office.
Okay, this is a question that's directed
to— Got a rebuttal.
I'm sorry, do you have a response?
Thank you. What I want to comment on this, and I did speak of this, this is one of the tough decisions that council members have to make. And I can speak for my colleagues in saying that every decision such as this is considered carefully and thoughtfully. And it is easy to have a judgment or an opinion when you have not been in that seat, you have not been doing the job, and you have not been privy to some of the information that we do have as council members. So it is a tough decision. It was a decision by the council as a whole, and I still stand by that that was a good decision to make. Thank you.
And I would just like to add, the mayor also disagreed with the council and brought it up to make sure that we filled that seat. So I think we have to also ask, would the council, as mayor, would you want the council to go against your recommendation of filling a seat that is vacant?
Okay, this is gonna be a question actually for both of our candidates, and it's basically, the question has to do with support for DEI programs and also the city administrator position. And they're basically asking the question, will you base your nomination or involvement in that process on the basis of merit rather than any other reason?
Sorry, wait. Let me make sure I understand this correctly. So the question is are we going to hire a city administrator based off of merit or based off of a DEI?
DEI factors.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer that question.
So I'm going to talk about a city administrator if I can, because you're asking about a mini city administrator. Mm-hmm. and that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to mention that this is an area where Chandel and I have different views. I think it's premature to support the creation of a city administrator's position. We don't have all the information we need yet to make that decision. We have a task force of very capable council members looking at the pros and cons of that position. They will submit a report to council in May. And things we should be asking is, will the administrator benefit the residents of La Crosse and improve their lives? Is there evidence that an administrator would save the city money or create efficiencies? I have an open mind on this, and I want to get the facts. And that's why I'm waiting for the working group's report. And I would like to add, it's good, sound leadership practice to have the facts before making a decision.
Okay, I'm gonna open up.
Can I say something to that?
I'm sorry, do you have a response?
Yes, of course I do. So when we talk about a city administrator, I think it's important to recognize that it's not just a decision that is coming out of on a whim, right? The reality is that having someone that can help with the efficiency of government, having someone that can help make sure that we're balancing the budget, having someone that can help to ensure that the mayor can be visible in the community while also helping, having someone that helps manage departments, et cetera, is extremely important. And if we look at history, right, and we're talking about being $1 billion or so in debt and not having a balancing budget for however many years, I think it's important for us to truly explore what can we be doing differently. And the idea of a city administrator is an important thing to, I think, consider, and really actually not just consider it, but make it happen.
Okay. Any further response, Chris? None. All right. I'm going to open it up to any questions from media members that didn't get covered.
Yeah. And this might be something that, Todd, you were getting at earlier, but more specifically, and this will be addressed to both of you. In the past year, we saw a battle over the Reach Center. The center was hoping to expand services that would then serve our lower income communities, but nearby residents worried about the impact that change could have to their neighborhood. As the city changes, so will the needs of our community. How would you work to address community needs while also balancing neighborhood concerns and character?
All right. This is for both candidates.
Yep.
And I'm not sure who's going to go first, but since Sean Sell spoke last, Chris, please.
So you gave the example, but please give the last statement again, your question.
For sure. So the idea, you know, of as the city changes, so will the needs of our community. How would you work to address community needs while balancing neighborhood concerns and character?
So we have done a multitude of studies in the city to know what we want our neighborhoods, what we want our city to look at. We have a downtown 2040 plan that was passed, well, started during COVID and passed. We have a new comprehensive plan that we did pass, and we have a zoning update code that is coming. So those documents, along with a housing study that has recommendations, I believe are the guiding documents that the city would be using for changes, future development, what we want the city to look like. In the comprehensive plan, neighborhoods were spoken to. Neighborhoods had input, and they have put forward what types of businesses, what type of growth they would like in their neighborhood. So certain areas, there are certain things that are undesirable, some are desirable, and there's one more category. So I think we really need to be looking at our plans, looking at what the neighborhood's desire is, and looking at what's best for the city as it grows. We know we need housing of all types, and I will say that the rezoning of that Reach Center took away housing options for the city of La Crosse, which is what is in the downtown plan, it's in the comprehensive plan, it is in the housing plan, and it is what the neighborhood wanted.
Okay, thanks. Sean Dell.
So first I would say, in addressing community needs, a really big thing that the city has to do is either serve alongside and lead organizations in the work that they're doing, or get out of their way and allow them to do what they need to do to carry out their mission to ensure that they're providing resources for the individuals in our community. So when we talk about reach, I just want to share a quick personal story with you because Black, before we purchased the building that we're now in, we were actually housed in the basement of Reach. And the way that we did this is because when we created RIMES, Runaway Homeless Youth Mediation and Emergency Services, it started out as a drop-in center that was in the basement of Reach. And I recall one day coming with some students, and we had the YAB, which is the Youth Action Board, which is folks who have experienced, you know, homelessness or being unhoused. They come together to guide some of the work that we do here in this community for the unhoused populations. And I remember being essentially, I'm gonna use the word accosted, that might be a little too strong, where a neighbor came and was like, "You can't have people living here. You can't, are these people living here? I seen suitcases coming in here and I seen beds coming in here," right? And the reality of what was happening is our plan has always been to have a 24-hour shelter. So we were purchasing things that was legal for us to purchase, right? And storing it in the basement of Reach. But I say this story because I think it's important to mention that when Reach was brought up and when Reach was just an idea of making sure that we were housing services that were going to be working with our unhoused populations, there were certain folks in that community that led a charge that was inaccurate, that led a charge and an uprising off of false information, and also, to be honest, I would say an idea of keeping certain people out of that neighborhood that truly needed the services.
Okay, and do you have a response, Chris?
The individuals who are served by Reach are the neighbors in that community. They live near us and with us. I disagree with the statement that neighbors want to keep certain people out. The neighborhood in that area is inclusive and kind and compassionate. And I would disagree with the statements that Shondell has just made.
Okay, and do you have an additional response?
No comment.
Okay, thank you. Another media question?
So to step away from tension and politics and everything, what positive developments are happening in our city? What's for each of you, what's one positive development that's happening in our city that you think deserves more attention?
All right. I think I'm going to go with you first, Chris, I think.
One positive development. The biggest positive development I can see is the River Point North redevelopment that has taken decades to come to fruition, and we have the first building that has gone up, and it is, I don't believe, fully occupied, but it is done, and the townhouses are there, and they're full. And I would say River Point North and what this city has done for housing is really, really important and a proud positive thing.
Okay, thank you. Shondell.
I'd have to agree. I think River Point North was a really awesome project to watch get built, you know, when they raised it out of the floodplain all the way to the building of the buildings and things like that. And I constantly drive by it on my way home and just constantly look at, like, man, this is a really good idea. This is awesome work that's happening, and we got to make sure we continue it.
All right. Any other responses? All right, a couple of questions regarding the climate and sustainability. The first is, well, what are your thoughts on sustainability, conservation, and outdoor recreation? And then there's a narrower additional focus, and that is the city's role to help preserve the marsh against any other intrusions that might happen in that area. And Shondell.
First of all, we've already said La Crosse is a beautiful place, right? And I, as mayor, would want to ensure that we're working with the organizations and the community to make sure that we're seeing out our climate action plan so that we can ensure to keep this space, so that we can ensure that we're keeping this space in our city vibrant, beautiful, accessible, right? I'm not a hiker, but I've hiked the Bluffs a couple times, and I think that it's really exciting. And when I talk to people who move here or folks who visit here, and I say, what's something that you really like about this community? And the first thing they talk about is the bluffs, the nature, right, the river. And so we definitely need to make sure we do everything possible to keep those things fresh and healthy. And that also includes the marsh. So that's kind of my stance on the marsh. I think the marsh is an important part of our ecosystem.
So the sustainability, climate action plan, flooding, all of it, I think we can talk about the marsh. It is the reason why we don't have the severe flooding that we could have. While it is a great natural resource that people like to hike in or fish or, you know, whatever they do in it, it really, really saves the city, and it is such an important piece to the city. Many years ago, 30 years ago, I worked with some other folks to create a nonprofit organization, 501c3, ended up being in the end, but we wanted to stop a four-lane highway through the marsh. That highway building wasn't sustainable. This is before we had a climate action plan. So I have been looking to the future and preserving the environment for a very long time in the city of La Crosse. And as mayor, I would continue on that path until my last days. Thank you.
All right. Any response?
No.
All right, none. All right, this is a question, and I'm going to direct it to both of you, but are you in favor of the current weak mayor, strong council form of city government? And I think, Chris, we go with you first.
We can't understand you.
You can't hear that. So I'm going to repeat that again. I'll be a little louder. How's this? Please do that. When you can't hear me, please raise your hand or just shout out. Are you in favor of the current weak mayor / strong council form of government, city government, that we have in La Crosse?
I would say it is an effective form of government. And what is effective, no matter what form of government you have, is people working together for the betterment of the city. We have council members, and it is a strong council, but if there is a mayor that they can be working with and have a good relationship, I think that it is a very, very effective form of government. And as I said, whichever form you have, that working relationship has to be there, and you have to form those trusting relationships. And I would say that I have those relationships right now with city staff. I have the relationships with my colleagues, and I would be able to move into the mayor's role seamlessly.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Shondell.
I believe that my strong government is a government that is efficient and effective. And what that looks like, as long as it's efficient and effective, I think that's what matters. The other piece of this is structures have to change over time, right? Some things are good to stay historic and stay in line, and sometimes you have to do something different. And I think about, you know, the school board and my time on school board. I came in when it was under coherent governance, but before that it was under a different governance structure, right? And so we have to make sure that we're also staying with the times when we're talking about government structures as well. But ultimately, for me, as long as we're talking about collaboration, effectiveness, efficiency, and making sure that we're doing what we need to do for our community, that's what I support.
Okay. Any response? No. We have time for one more question. Any from the media?
I would ask, but is there one from the audience that you want to make sure the audience gets their say? Is there any more from them?
I've got a combined four from the audience, but I think they kind of fit in with the wrap up here. So
okay.
We can ask one more question.
One more. Thank you. Anyone else from the media? Okay. I wanted to ask this. It's topical right now. This past Sunday, there was a shooting on La Crosse's north side. Speaking to the neighbors there, they said their community overall was very safe. That area felt very safe, but they were worried about the chance of rising gun violence. As mayor, how would you work with the city's police department to reduce gun violence and overall violent crimes?
And
that's on me? Great. So here's the reality, right? Like, any crime is bad. We don't want crime in our neighborhoods at all. And so we need to ensure that we're working with our police departments, our first responders, our community, to ensure that we're doing everything necessary to prevent crime from happening. Also, here's the reality. Sometimes in certain communities, crime happens. We just have to make sure that we have the effective response to hold people accountable to their crime when necessary.
Okay, thanks. Chris.
How would we work as mayor with the police chief? Having those relationships, which I already have with the police chief, is a first start in making sure that we are talking about those issues. Maybe if there is crime and violence that is seeming to get out of control, which this was a horrible crime on the north side, and we are seeing an increase in that, maybe we need a community task force on guns and violence. Maybe we need to hear from our community and hear what they need to help keep them safe. I have talked through this campaign about safe and strong neighborhoods. We need to be doing things as is being done at the Boys and Girls Club with expansion of services for youth, making sure that our youth are safe, I think, is a first step, and so that prevention is really important, and so having those conversations about gun violence, finding out what we can do, I think it's bigger than just talking to the police chief. The chief knows, they know what's going on, they know what to do. This is a bigger community conversation.
All right, response?
Yeah, my response is simple. As an executive director, as a executive director of a nonprofit that works with youth and families, I can collaborate every day with organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA, the YWCA, right? And we are all trying to make sure that we are having livable neighborhoods and making sure we provide resources for our families and things of that nature and having education sessions. We talk about gun violence, we talk about violence, we talk about crime, we make sure we encourage our students to speak up, speak out. We make sure that our students are serving as leaders in this community.
Okay, thank you. Any other response?
I just want to thank Shondell for the work that he does.
Thank you.
All right, there.
You too.
All right. Well, now I have four questions here, and they're really all kind of centered around your prior experiences, your public roles, and all of those things, and why that would make you the most qualified person. This is the part of the program where we're asking you to give your statements, your closing statements. So I'm going to just turn that over to that. And Chris, I believe you go first with the closing statements.
All right. Thank you, Lee. I want to thank the media sponsors who are here. I want to thank everyone here tonight. Thanks for being here, watching, all the folks watching from home. I'm going to make this short. You had a lot of questions answered because we didn't elaborate quite a bit on things. I am a person who rolls up her sleeves and gets the work done. I love lacrosse, and my experience and knowledge of city government, I'm ready to lead this wonderful city into the future. As I'm visiting the doors, people share their hopes for the future, but they also share their concerns. There's uncertainty in Washington, D.C., we have polarized politics in Madison. We need steady, experienced leadership here in La Crosse. We have an opportunity here to work together to solve tough problems. I bring people together. That's why one of my opponents in the primary, Vicki Markison, has endorsed me. I know how to balance a budget, make tough decisions, prioritize what is most important to the people I serve. I've done it on the city council. Now I'm asking for your support to be our next mayor and to put my experience to work for our city. So I would be honored to ask for your vote on April 1st.
All right, thank you, Chris. Sean.
Sounds good. La Crosse is a beautiful city. I've said that, we've talked about it. However, the beauty of this city is not just in historic buildings and the natural landscape, but in its people and the wonderful gifts they bring. La Crosse is my city of choice because I see our potential for inclusion and belonging. As mayor, I will protect the historic nature of this city while also making sure every neighborhood is accessible to individuals and families of all backgrounds. I will protect the green space and natural beauty that draws the tourists, while also making sure our most vulnerable populations are treated in a compassionate and dignified way. City government is failing us. Deferred maintenance and out-of-control borrowing have put an undue burden on taxpayers. Failure to follow development plans has led to incomplete projects and a breakdown in community collaboration. Business as usual is not working for us anymore. We need innovative, collaborative, and compassionate energy in our city's government. I decided to run for this position because I could no longer sit idly by while La Crosse continued to fall short of its greatest potential. My North Star has always been a strong sense of collaboration and working across differences. I've never shied away from tough problems, and I believe that transparency is the best policy. I'm Shundell Washington Spivey, and I'm working to build a La Crosse where everyone feels safe, valued, and heard. And I ask for your vote on April 1st. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank you both. Let's give them our appreciation for what they're doing.